Just in time. Can't learn Rabbi Nachman without you. Can't learn Rabbi Nachman without you. Okay, grab a copy. There's copies over here. Copies over here, copies over here. Grab a copy on your way. Okay, Sichas Haran Os Ayin Zayin. This is a very interesting Torah. And every one of us is going to feel this in a very personal way. I guarantee. Kol ha'olam male machlokas. The whole world is filled with strife. The whole world is filled with fighting. A lot of machlokas in the world. This past week's parsha, there was so much machlokas. No, lech lecha, so much machlokas. You have the riv, you have the dispute between the herdsmen of Avram and Lot. You have the four kings and the five kings waging war. You have Sarah and Hagar going at it. You have Rashi in Perek Tazayin telling us how Esav, how Yishmael is hated by everyone, and everyone fights with him. A lot of fighting, a lot of machlokas, a lot of strong disagreements. So Rabbi Nachman says, yep, that's the way of the world. Kol ha'olam male machlokas. Mask mandates, vaccine mandates, Republicans, Democrats, I don't like the way you look, etc., etc., etc. Kol ha'olam male machlokas. Hein bein umas ha'olam v'chein b'chol yir v'ir. It's true between the nations of the world. China, America, Russia, and within every city. My shul, your shul, yeshiva versus the college. V'chein b'chol bayis u'bayis. And in every house. Bein ha'shcheinim, sometimes amongst the neighbors. U'bein kol echarim ishto, u'bnei beso. You fight with your spouse. You fight with your children. U'masharsav, u'vanav. You hire someone to do a little work on your house. You get into a dispute. What were the terms that we agreed upon? Parents and children. V'ein mi sheyasim al libo hatachlas. And Rabbi Nachman says, if you zoom out just a little bit, fighting is so silly. Because guess what? He says it pretty straightforward. We're all going to die. And at the end, all of the fighting and all of the arguing and all of the bickering and all of the strife, people don't take to heart the tachlis. People don't think about the fact. Everyone's, you know, positioning themselves for greater power and greater authority. We don't think about the fact that with each passing day that I spend being angry or fighting or bickering, so it's another day of life that is lost. We're moving towards death. Ki ayom she'avar lo yia'o, the day that passed is never coming back. U'v'chol yom hu miskariv lamisa. Again, that sounds like a very bleak way to look at life, but again, it's a fact. You know, Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, against your will you're born, against your will you'll die. So people get so caught up in machlokas and arguing and just like realize, whoa, what's the tachlis of all this? Why am I getting so bent out of shape about this? V'dasha kol echad. And Rabbi Nachman says an amazing thing. You should know that it's all one thing. Shamachlokes shevepratios bein ishu beso v'kiyotze kanal. That the machlokes between members of a household, parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, right, neighbors, friends, all of the above, who gam kein mamish hamachlokes shebein hamalachim va'umos. It's all just variations on the same theme, meaning the disputes between the four kings and the five kings that we had in this past week's parsha is really the same thing that Hagar and Sarah were fighting about, which is really the same thing that Avram and Lot's shepherds were fighting about, which is really the same reason that Yishmael is hated in the world and picks fights with everyone. All the examples that I gave you from this past week's parsha, it's all one thing. So from the macro to the micro, it's all one thing. And they're all connected on a shorashi level. It's all one thing. He says in the next paragraph, Ki kol echad me'anshei beiso, hu bechinas uma miyuchedes, v'heim izgar en zeh emzeh. I was cracking up when I was preparing this piece. Because Rabbi Nachman says, because all the members of your family, each one is a different nation, and they're at war with each other. Right? So when Ar Yaakov picks up a magnetile and throws it across the room and it hits me ear in the head. So it's like Germany bombing France or something, you know? World War III, right? The different nations at war. They're fighting over. I was sitting in that chair first, right? So Rabbi Nachman says, that's not any different. That's not any different than, you know, than China and America throwing jabs back and forth, trying to, you know, say, I'm the world power. No, I'm the world power. It's all the same. It's all the same nonsense. Kamoshi ish milchamos bena umos. The fights amongst family members are the same thing as fights amongst the nations. They're as purposeful and as meaningful and as silly, all at the same time, as the big milchamos in the world. V'gam efshar lahakir kol echad me'ezi b'china shel umahu. And a person is able to figure out, what nation am I? What country am I? How do I figure out the b'china of my umah, my nation? Ki adua midos ha'umos. Because different nations have different cultural norms, have different midos, have different areas in which they've advanced life or perverted life. Shizek Hassan Verotzeach Vakiotse, these people are known to be particularly hot tempered. They have a murderous streak to them. These ones are known for being dishonest. Different nations have different, again, cultural norms and different midos raus. Ukamokein Yacholin Limso Bepratius Bibne Habayas. And so too within a household. Right? And within the household there's different midos raus. Whether it's anger, whether it's gaiva, or whether it's being dishonest, whatever it is, the various midos raos that we exhibit as individuals is really no different than the various midos raos that perhaps culturally are expressed by a particular nation. Let's pause here for a second, and let's turn to source 5 and 6. The Mor v'Shemes of Columbus Kalman Halevi Shapiro, Epstein, sorry. Columbus Kalman Shapiro, all right. Columbus Kalman Halevi Epstein, Talmud of Rav Elimelech of Lezhens, Talmud of the Rimanover, the Mor v'Shemesh. So he writes in his writings on Sukkos, Ki kol uma, source number 5, Ki kol uma mehashivim umos. All of the nations, oh, sorry.
This is a hard, my apologies.
Kol uma me'ashivim umos, every nation of the 70 nations, he shakua b'mida ra'a mishuna me'uma acheras. Is shakua, what does shakua mean? Shkia sachama, the setting of the sun, is sunken. Is sunken into a mida ra'a that is mishuna, that is different, me'uma acheras, from a different nation. Meaning American Western culture is a certain type of mida ra'a. Right? Militant Islamic culture is a different type of mida ra'a. Right? There's different cultural norms which are manifest in certain character, different midos raos. Okay, v'leze einenu roos ba'umos, and our eyes are able to identify this amongst the different nations. Right? There are certain countries that are very bloodthirsty. Ki mehem asher teva ha'am hu lishpoch dam. Right, there are nations where their natural inclination is to want to spill blood. They're always fired up. They always want to wage war. They're prepared to send their soldiers to the front lines very quickly. Or God forbid, to become suicide bombers or all sorts of other. Right? They're always looking to stab or to attack. Or that's a certain type of personality that is found among some nations. U'mehem asher teva ha'umos lios shtufim bezima. There are some cultures where the sexually immoral, permissive society is what defines that society. Vigeneva, again, there are some cultures, right, where property rights are totally undermined. Theft is commonplace. Vidomehen. Zeyora kisar shalahem hu amoshech osam lezem. Now realize all of this on a certain level starts in the higher realms, that the sar, that the malach that's assigned to that nation, in some ways is moshech, is drawing that nation into that mida, whatever that means. The Adam nivra kolol mikol ha'olamos ha'olyonu b'tachtonu. And a person, says the Mor v'Shemesh, is made up of all of the worlds, the worlds above and worlds below. V'yesh bo klolos ha'shivim sarim gamke. Which means on a certain level within ourselves, we each have a little bit of all of the nations inside of ourselves. We have a little bit of America and a little bit of Korea and a little bit of China and a little bit of Italy. and a little bit of Amalek, and a little bit of all, whatever you want to call the 70 nations. And that causes us to be drawn to different things. When I act with a certain midara, right, it's a trace of that nation. Now again, it also may be more greatly expressed if I'm more makusher to that nation. So the fact that we're growing up in America, right, there's a certain hashpa that America has on us. Whether you're the most isolated person who thinks that he thinks freely for himself, there's no question society has a hashpa. The culture that you're a part of has hashpa, even if you don't associate with that culture. I don't like that culture. I try to disassociate from that culture. The fact that we speak English itself has a hashpa on us. Bnei Yisrael spoke about how when you learn, he was against learning languages, foreign languages, because when you learn certain foreign languages, that's an entry point into that nation's culture, and it's an entry point into that nation's midos. So whatever the taivas of France is, when I speak French, so I become more associated with that. Interesting idea. So the taivos that we have are all a combination of the various kochos that exist within peoples in the world, and nations in the world. V'hatzadik, what says the more of a shemesh in the second paragraph, v'hatzadik asher bir hara mikirbo v'hafcho letov. But the tzaddik who what? Who wages war against that midah. Who tries to what? To rectify, to be metake in that midah in a good way. For a simple example, he takes that passion which can be misdirected and he uses that drive, that energy, right? That taiva for something holy. Yesh le'el yado lahachnia hasar ha-moshech ala taiva hei. So it is then le'el yado, it's within his grasp, it's within his ability, lahachnia, to humble that koach, that sar, that ministering angel in Shemayim, whatever that means, that brings a person to that taiva, and the tzaddik is now able to bring it into the realm of kedusha. And he gives one example. Look what he writes in the brackets. Derech mashal, im a tzaddik malamid la'achosim b'tzilo, leval yilvishu malbush nachri. If the tzaddik works hard to encourage people around him to dress in a Jewish way, to wear begadim tsanuim, to wear clothing that is somewhat, tsanua, not only in terms of covering parts of the body that are meant to be covered for those who have that struggle, right? But that the clothing is not overly flashy and that the clothing is refined, right? And a person looks like a mensch. So when the tzaddik works on encouraging people around him to dress in a Jewish way, and he brings people to that experience of clothing in a way of holiness. So in doing so, he crushes, he defeats that nation that represents sort of a very casual style of dress or a pritzus dik style of dress. Right? He makes it easier when the tzaddik is able to encourage and have an appreciation for Jewish clothing, so he's makes it easier in the world for that value to manifest itself. Very interesting idea. So we're all made up of a lot of different things. Just look at the Arve Nachal. Arve Nachal lived around the same time. Arve Nachal is a beautiful sefer of Jewish. He had Rebbeim who were not Hasidic Rebbes, and he had Rebbeim who were also Hasidic Rebbes. Beautiful sefer. So the Arve Nachal writes in this past week's parsha, Lach Lecha, he says, "Ve'ein kol uma ve'avodas galilim." Right? There's no nation from the idol worshippers, tumasa shava, whose impurity is equal. Ki yesh uma shechiyusa mimidara zu ve'yesh mizu. Very similar to what the Mor of Hashemesh just told us. There are those who have this bad midah, those who have that bad midah. Kamo miritzicha, whether it's murder, niyuf, adultery, immorality, ve'kedoma. U'mikabeles kol achas chiyusa derech Yisrael. And yet, the Jewish people are meant to be the leaders of the world. We're the ones who are supposed to set the tone for the universe. Al yedei ma'at osa mida rosh yesh bi Yisrael, v'davar zeh toloi bi Yisrael. So when we have a little bit of that bad mida, so the nations of the world, who are less guarded in general when it comes to the refinement of character and values, because they don't have a Torah, so if we have that mida in some small measure, we're concerned that whether the world will have that in great measure. And if we suppress, if we limit our behavior, in these negative traits. So that will have a ripple effect again on the nations of the world. Again, if we believe that all Shefa and Bracha and Chaim is being channeled through Klal Yisrael, so our behaviors are going to have a tremendous hashpah on the world. If we limit our involvement in negativity, so then the world automatically will follow our lead. It's true on a natural level also, right? Meaning the Jewish people have certainly enhanced and taught values to the world. But I'm talking on a metaphysical level. When a Jew acts in a way that he's supposed to act, if he believes that his neshama is tied in to the nations of the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us not just the right, but the responsibility to lead the world, so when we act proper, the world follows. But if we act in a way that's very not appropriate, eventually the nations will overpower us. They will take that midara and dominate us with that very midara. They will use it against us. And he writes three lines from the end. He says, then the source 6, uvegu'ula ha'asida shanu mitzapeh, when we talk about the gu'ula that we're longing for, ein hadavar toloi ela b'tshuva, it requires tshuva. Tshuva leads to gu'ula. What does that mean? Ratzalomar shi'yavar yisrael me'am kol midos ros, ba'ofen shi'yichalu ros ha'akum. Tshuva means that if we perfect ourselves, then there's no room for the world. Meaning, how does tshuva bring the gu'ula? So let's say the Jewish people work on themselves, and we get rid of all of our bad midos and our taivos, etc. So what about the rest of the world? But says the Ari Nachal, no, you don't understand. If we perfect ourselves, then the world will follow us, will follow our lead. If we destroy those midos ra'os, so that itself will destroy that midara amongst the nations of the world. And then az yiplu kol ovdei kochavnu lefaneinu, and then the Jewish people will dominate the world, again, not in a way that, God forbid, some of our enemies have tried to dominate other nations, but we'll lead the world in that way. We'll destroy all negativity in the world. But he writes in the last line, v'yinatku ka'asher yinatik psil ha'na'ores b'hericho esh, and all of the evil will be consumed like a little piece of flax that draws close to the fire that's in a second, it's consumed. So if we change ourselves, then the world will be changed. But we have to start by realizing that whatever fights we're having in our personal lives are a reflection of what's happening on the big stage in the world. That's what Nachman is talking about. All machlokus is rooted in the same thing. Okay, let's go back to Rabbi Nachman in source number 1. We're in the third paragraph, the line that begins, Vafilu. Let's say a person says, I recognize there's a lot of machlokus. I heard two people the other day, they were yelling at each other, they were fighting over a particular hot topic in the news, whatever it was, and I decide I'm not getting involved. I'm sitting this one out. I don't want to take a position. Does that work? In some small measure it works, but eventually everyone gets pulled in. Because the nations that didn't want to get pulled into the war also got pulled into the war. The nations that tried to maintain their neutrality often will also get pulled into the war. Says Rabbi Nachman, Va'afilu, the line that begins Va'afilu, about 10 lines in. Va'afilu em echar enu rotza lariv. Let's say a person says, I don't want to be part of the dispute. I want to sit this out, right? Our children are fighting, and I say to them, Daddy's sitting this one out. You guys work it out yourself. Right? So how long does that last? How long does that work? Until they come and say, no, Daddy, you have to help us, you know, figure this one out. Of necessity, it'll be that this person, again, gets pulled in. Eventually, you're going to join the machlokas, you're going to join the melchama. Kemo shenimtza bein ha-melchamos shebein ha-melachim v'ha-umos. The same way that we see with the nations of the world. Shenimtza lefamim eizu uma sherotza leishe b'shal v'vein ha-rotza l'shum melchama. One of the nations says, I want to maintain my neutrality. I don't want to be a part of your war. This is your war. It has nothing to do with me. Adraba, haisa merutza l'shtachavos l'chaveo ha-kama pamim. I am prepared to make peace in whatever way that I can. Im kol zeh choytvino so gam kin al karcha besocha mochama. But nonetheless, eventually, al karcha, against one's will, you're pulled into the battle. This country that tried to maintain neutrality, maybe it lasts for a period of time, but eventually, right, they're drawn into the war. They're forced to pick a side. Shezeh omer shia mitzido, vezeh lahafech, at shenochamen imo gam kin. This one says, be on my side. This one says the opposite. Until eventually, they're pulled into the war. The same thing is true within the family dynamic. Right? When the siblings are fighting, the parents can't say, you work it out yourself. It doesn't work like that. Right? When spouses are fighting, the children are affected. Every war affects everyone else around. Everyone's pulled into the battle. Because every person, again, is a miniature world, which means what? V'nichlal bo kol ha'olam umelo'o. And every person is contained. We're so complicated. Every one of us, right, may have a particular nation that our neshama is connected to, but we're also a combination of everything. Again, we all have a little bit of Esav and a little bit of Yishmael and a little bit, again, of Poland and a little bit of Russia and a little bit of Canada and a little bit of all the nation, a little bit of everything. Because if a person is a miniature world, the person's an olam katan, so that means everything that's in the world is within ourselves. And it's our job to sort of sift through all those pieces and make something wholesome out of it, to try to make peace. So nichlal bo kol olam umulo'o, mikol shekena odem uveso, shenichlal ben kol umos. Certainly, let's say, you know, my main mida is a particular, right? I'm Mexico, right? So my spouse is, Portugal, right? So within a house, there's going to be, again, there's going to be different, there's going to be all sorts of different nations. V'nocham misgar and zebezeh. So within a single person, right, there's Spain and there's Portugal and there's Mexico and there's whatever, Lithuania, there's Ukraine, there's all, within every person, there's all of these things. So the more so when multiple people get together, right, that much more is at the koach of all of these nations coming together. But the point Rabbi Nachman is trying to make is no one can say, I'm sitting this out. Because even within yourself, there's a war. That's a very deep idea. To understand the emotional and mental realities of a human being, how complex we are as people. It's not just about learning how to navigate the social dynamic between me and my friend, between me and my roommate, between me and my parent, between me and my spouse, between me and my cousin, between me and my employer or employee. It's about figuring out how to sift through all of the different competing kochos within oneself. Human beings are the most complex, the most complicated and complex. And I use both those words. Complex means like made up of a lot of parts. Complicated means a little more messy. We're complex and we're complicated. They're both true. Rav Elchanan Wasserman writes in source number 2. Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem should avenge his blood, never left, wouldn't abandon his beloved Talmidim, Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, in the Kovetz Ma'amar and the Igros, in the first volume. Rav Elchanan says, how did the Zohar understand the phrase in source number 2? V'umavur al pi ha-kosuv nasa adam, let us make man. When Hashem says in Bereishis, let us make man, who is Hashem talking to? U'pirshu b'Zohar, the Zohar explains, Shavkadosh Baruch Hu amar l'chol ha-briya kula. Hashem was talking to the whole world. Man was created on the sixth day. That means already in the world there was what? There was the sun, there was the moon, there were stars, there were lions and tigers, there were bears, there were fish, there were sharks. Right? There were all sorts of creatures. There were all sorts of beings. And therefore, Nasa Adam, let us make man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to everything that was created before Adam. Nasa kulanu yachad Adam. Shekulanu nishtatev bibriyoso. Everyone, let's get together, let's be mishtatev. Everyone joined together in creating Adam. So the bear gave a donation, and the lion gave a donation, right? And the hyena gave a donation, and the vulture gave a donation, right? And the polar bear gave a donation. Everyone gave a donation. The hainu shekol echad yitin la'adam bitivo v'tchunaso. That all the animals and all the creatures and everything in the world, the water, the wind, everything gave of itself, of its essence, of its nature, made a donation to Adam. Sha'ashur yitin bo tchunashur. The ox gave a little bit of the mida of an ox. Va'ari yitin bo tchunasari. And the lion gave a little bit of the mida of a lion. Va'hanachash tchunas nachash. And the snake gave a little bit of the mida of a snake. V'nimsa ki ha'adam echad hu olam katan. So now we have a better understanding when Chazal tell us in Medrash that Adam is an olam katan, a miniature world, because the world really donated its kochos hanefesh to create Adam. Everything in the world gave a donation to Adam. Na'as Adam, let us make man. Who was Hashem talking to? Hashem was talking to the Bria itself. Let us make man. Hakolel besocho tchunas kol hanivram ha'elyonim v'tachtonim, by the way. Elyonim and tachtonim. The angels also gave a donation. Everyone gave a donation. Adam is a little bit of everything. The M.K. and says Rav Elchanan, three lines from the end, Kochosein shakol chayos rosh shabaolam nichlalu ba'adam. Which means as dangerous as a lion is, and as dangerous as a hungry, angry bear is, a person is more dangerous, because a person is a lion, and a bear, and an ox, and a killer whale, and a... Do killer whales actually kill? I don't even know. Yeah? Okay, killer whale. Right? And I don't know, and a venomous snake. Right? So man is all of that. He's all of that. Now, it's a tremendous kalach. It could be harnessed in a very powerful way. But if a person is made up of all the chayos ros, if we're made up of all the wild creatures in the jungle, ve'ein l'cha, look at these words, underline, ve'ein l'cha chaya ra no ra kazu. There's no wild animal like a person. There's no animal that's more wild than a person because we're made up of all the animals. We have all of the nations inside of us. We have all of the animals inside of us. That's a very scary thought. That's why human beings can cause the most destruction to the planet. More so than even the most dangerous, you know, poison havoc on the world. Yeah.
So we're saying that all the creations gave like certain egos?
Yeah, that's right. Nasa Adam, let us make man. Hashem took a little of everything. Let us make man. Put together another.
So if you channel that in a positive
so way, obviously, right, again, Hashem, right? For sure. And we're going to see that in a second. Right. But for sure. And then Rav Elchanan Wasserman, who, by the way, was killed by men, right, who were murderous in the most evil of ways, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. Right? Rav Elchanan Wasserman, who wouldn't abandon, during World War II, wouldn't abandon his Talmidim. So he's writing, he understands in the strongest of ways how evil people can become, how destructive people can become. He says two lines from the end, ulevad zen, in addition to this, halo yesh la'adam klei mashchis asher ein l'shum chaya ba'olam. And man even has something, a weapon, that's so dangerous that animals don't have, namely, v'hein hadeya v'hadibor, to formulate evil ideas, to use the koach hadibor, the way that Hitler, Yimach Shemo, rallied people, right, with his very charismatic, you know, personality and his speeches, and the way he got into people's heads with his koach hadibur, his koach hadeya, right? And this piece, by the way, which we don't have the rest of it in front of us, Rav Elchanan Wasserman says, so how do you deal with such a monster? How do you deal with an adam who's made up of all of the kochos hara in the world? And the answer is two words, Yiras Shemayim. The only thing that can save you is Yiras Shemayim. You can just see the last line. Me'acher, u'me'acher shalacha achas torefes sarach lekoisha b'shalshelis shel barzel. You need to chain this animal with iron chains. And he goes on to explain that Yiras Shemayim is the only thing that's going to stop you from raping and killing and pillaging and v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. There's only one thing that can keep you in check, and that's Yiras Shemayim. Be'emes keep you in check. You can create also, you know, it says in Pirkei Avos, the police are also good. It's powerful for Shlomo Shel Malchus, which is daven for the stability of governments, because that also allows society to function. But we're made up of wild animals, and if we don't have a real, genuine sense of Yiras Shemayim, we can become so destructive so quickly. So Rabbi Nachman says there's no sitting out the Melchama, because you are the Melchama. You are the whole world. Your bais is the whole world. Right? Your community is the whole world. Your world is the whole world. Your city is the whole world, but you're also the whole world. You're also made up of all the nations of the world. So it's impossible for a person to just say, I'm not going to engage in any type of strife, struggle, machlokas, etc. Turn to page 2 for a second. In Parshas Baaloscha, we meet a group of complainers. V'ha'asafsuf asher bekirbo hisavu tavan, source number 3. The asafsuf, who are these asafsuf? Right, the rabble amongst them. His avu tava. They desired a desire. Vayeshuvu yivku gam b'nei Yisrael vayomer mi yachilenu vasar. And the Jewish people started crying as the complainers started complaining, and they're hating on the man, this magnificent food, this miraculous spiritual food, the man, and everyone's the asafsuf, the rabble-rousers are causing trouble, and people are crying, who's going to give us meat? We want real meat. Who are these asafsuf? Asher Bekirbo, the asafsuf amongst them. Who are they? The Erev Rav. Rashi says it was the Erev Rav, who was those Egyptians who left Mitzrayim and have been causing trouble for the Jewish people. There was a Talmud of the Kotzker, wrote a sefer called Ezer Eliyahu. And he has a magnificent explanation of this piece. And the Ezer Eliyahu in Parshas Baaloscha, in source number 4. I know it's a little bit hard to read, but let's try together. And it'll partially come back to what Jack was saying about using those kochos of the wild animals in a holy way, in a good way. He writes, he says, V'hatmios kvar mevu'ar. The questions on this pasuk and on this whole sugya, this whole discussion, these rabble-rousers, who are they? Why are they starting up? Why do they hate the man so much? Why are they complaining? Moshe's getting desperate. It's a pretty broken parsha Baaloscha. So he says, perhaps we can explain. Ksiv nasa adam bitzalmenu. Let us make man in our image. Udivre chazal yadua. And the words of chazal are well known. Ha'inin bezek ksiv. But perhaps we can explain. The pasuk says in Kohelis, in the third line, Asher asa ha'elohim esa adam yashar. Hashem made man yashar. Hashem made man straight. Honest, wholesome, vehema bikshu cheshbonos rabin. And yet they, bikshu, have desired, have what? Mavakish, they're searching for cheshbonos rabin. All sorts of calculations. Hashem made us that we should be able to navigate our way through this world walking the straight path, and we made it complicated. Right, look at the words again. Asher asa lokim asa adam yashar. Hashem made adam straight, straightforward, honest, fair, a sense of yashrus. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. V'heima bikshu cheshbonos rabim. But we have all sorts of krum calculations. We have all sorts of strange ways of looking at things, of understanding things. Ki yesh ba'adam chelek eloka mimal shemishtokek tamid l'sharsho. There's a part of us that comes from Hashem, which is the chelek eloka mimal, the divine spark within us, which only longs to be connected to its root, to its origin, to its shoresh. V'gam nitein ba'adam kol kochos mikol habruim. But there's another part of us. When Hashem says nasa adam, Hashem also gave a donation. That part of ourself is really good. It's all the other stuff that makes our life complicated. V'im ovi b'ham es haboreis barach. So like Jack said, that if we serve Hashem with all of the donations of the lions and the tigers and the bears, az yesh aliyah l'chol habruim haheim, then we lift up the entire Bria. Like we learned in the Arve Nachal, like we learned in the Ma'or V'Shemesh, the nations of the world are counting upon us. If we carry ourselves in a refined, holy, uplifted way, then we uplift the whole world. K'maimer Chazal, like Chazal explained, have oz kanamer. You should be bold like a leopard. That's positive. Kal kanesher. You should be swift like an eagle. That's positive. That speed could be used to what? To go hunting, or that speed could be used to get out of bed and get to davening on time. Ratz katzvi. Be swift like a deer. Gibor ka'ari. Gibor could mean that I'm conquering others, or gvura could be ezu gibor ha'kovesh es yitzro. So all of the animals appear in Pirkei Avos as what? As kochos that can be used to serve Hashem. Or how about the countless psukim in the Torah? Like it says, V'chein yihi dan nachash. Dan is compared to a nachash. Right? But that could be a good thing. Naftali ayala shlucha. Hanosein emre shefer. How many of the shvatim are compared to animals? Because they're wild animals? No, because there's a certain koach, a positive koach of these animals that can be used in the right way. But says the Ezer Eliyahu, 4 lines from the bottom of the right-hand column, V'zesh Amar Hashem Yisbach, L'shorish kol habruim, Hainu l'kochoseyem nasa adam. Hashem turned to the root of all of creation and said, nasa adam, come, let's give our kochos to Adam in a way that he could use it in the right way. Hainu shekibel mikolach kol echad ve'echad li nasein ba'adam, Shiyavodo so yisbarachim kol hakochos. Let's give him the strength. Let's give him the power. Let's give him the speed. Let's give him all this energy to use to serve Hashem. So that's what the pasuk means in Kohelet when it says what? Asher asahelu kimesa adam yashar. Hashem says, I didn't give you these things to make your life a mess. I gave you these things to what? To be able to march ahead with great confidence and to have the koach to do what you need to do. And I gave you what? Achilak alokam imal. I gave you the main part of you, which is your neshama. Hainu achilak alokam imal, continuing on the left-hand side, left column. Shiyesh bo b'chinas selim elokim. I gave you yashar. He says yashar stands for Yehei Shmei Rabba. I gave you greatness. I gave you kochos. It's the part of you that wants to scream out, Yehei, Shmei, Rabba, Mavayach. The part of you that wants to always acknowledge Hashem. That's Yashar, Yehei, Shmei, Rabba. To make Hashem's name great in the world. That's the good part of you. And even the animals inside of you can be used to serve Hashem. But what's the end of the pasuk in Koheles Chevra? Vehema bikshu chesbonos rabim. Aval vehema, but what? But Hema, but the animals, when they're let loose, right? What's their natural inclination? If you don't harness their energy, the Hema, they, what's the they? Hashem says, I made man straight, but they, who's they? They people? No, they, the things that I made man with. All of that internal energy is Bikshu Cheshbonos Rabim. Hainu kol hakochos kulam Bikshu Cheshbonos Rabim. And therefore he says, the name Yisrael is Yashar Kel. Try to stay on the straight path to Hashem. Asher osa asalokim asa adam yashar, like Kohelet says. Hashem says, I made you yashar. I gave you a chelek alokam imal. Va'adam nivra l'shaber kol chemdos shabam mikochos hanal. It's our job to try to conquer and to control all of the, again, those kochos that are misdirected within a person. So he says five lines from the end of the piece, going back to our pasuk. Va'asafsuf asher bekirbo. Such a sweet shot. What's the asasuf asher bekirbo? The Erev Rav who live among us? No. The asafsuf means the rabble, right? The mix. That's what? Asher bekirbo. Mamish bekirbo. The mix of emotions, the mix of feelings, the mix of energy that is mamish bekirbo. Hainu akochos ahim. Shinisasu mikol habruim. All of these kochos collected from all of creation. Beha'odam, within a person, his avu tava, says the pasuk. Right, that's where the taiva comes from, because the lion sometimes wants to just be a wild lion, and the bear wants to be a wild bear, and therefore Bnei Yisrael, unfortunately, we're struggling to be Yisrael. That's why the pasuk says Vayivku Bnei Yisrael. I want to be Yashar Kel. I want to be straight to Hashem. Hashem made me Yashar, like the pasuk says in Koheles in the 7th chapter. The Hema, but all of that asafsuf inside of my kishkas, bikshu cheshbonos rabim. It got me into all sorts of trouble. Of course, rabim, we've pointed out in the past, rabim is a code word also. The Bnei Yisrael says, rabim is the Rashi Tevos of the four exiles. Romi, Bavel, Yavan, Madai. So, all of galus, all of being disconnected, all of the fighting, right, which we're going to explain in a second, is really what galus is about. It's all raging inside of me. And our job is what? Our job is to harness it and to redirect it and to understand it, just to accept it, to recognize that no one can sit out the battle. We're forced to engage in battle. It's just a question of how you choose to do it. Let's go back to Rabbi Nachman on page 1. So says Rabbi Nachman, a person is an olam katan. A person is made up of all sorts of things. No one can say that I maintain my neutrality. Everyone gets pulled in to the battle. And let's say you really decide to isolate yourself from society completely. You're not safe. Because the battle is inside of you, says Rabbi Nachman. He says where it's bolded, the paragraph where it's bolded. Va'al kein lif'amim kishe'echad yoshev levado b'ya'ar. A person goes and he lives in isolation in a forest. Yochol yos yanasa mishuga. It's very likely that he's going to go out of his mind. He's not going to be a mentally stable person. Why? If it's a nasa machmas shehu levado, because when he's all alone, who is he with? He's with all of the various parts of himself. V'nechlalin bo levad kol ha'umos, and he lives with all of the nations inside of him. V'heim is garan zebizan. He becomes what? He becomes a person of a split personality because he has so much raging inside of him. And he has no means of getting it out in any way. Because he's isolated from reality, he's isolated from the world. So he needs to play. When you're not living amongst the nations of the world, so you need to play all the more so. You become all the nations. That much more so you become all the nations. And therefore the war that's raging inside of you becomes that much more pronounced. Right? He becomes all of those nations. He needs to shtanos. He's constantly changing from this nation to that nation. Kviyas gabras uma al uma. The same way the nations are fighting. So all of that's happening nichlalin bo levado. It's all happening inside of him. Umachmaze yochol yishtageya legamre. And because of this, a person could lose his mind. Just trying to, living in isolation, trying to sift through the various parts of his own personality. The various nations inside of himself. The various animals inside of himself. All the warring opinions. He doesn't have a sounding board. He can't even talk it out with somebody. He can't even debate it. And because of that, it's all caught inside of him. But when he's amongst the people, at least when he's in his house and he's fighting with his parents, or he's fighting with his siblings, or he's fighting with his dad. Not that we're supposed to just unload our, you know, and wage war with everyone around us. But Rabbi Nachman says it's part of the reality of this world. I'm going to teach you in a second how to wage war in a healthier way. And it's the opportunity that every one of us, Baruch Hashem, has at this stage of our life, and that's called Torah. Melchamta shel Torah. If we fight in Torah, if we care deeply, if we fight over a tosfos with my chavrusa, right, trying to argue over who's got the more correct pshat, so that war will spare us from all these other wars. It's a very deep idea as well. We'll see in a second. But the machlokas, the need to grapple, is part of the human experience. It cannot be avoided. No one's going to, until Mashiach comes, no one is free to just sit back and say everything's going to be b'shalom. We will get there. We hope to get there. That's the end game. We absolutely will get there. Says Rabbi Nachman in the last four lines, "Hamachlokas shebebeis hatzadik ugamkin bechinas mochamos haumos." Even a tzadik who's on a high level, whose machlokas is not just petty disputes. Yosef and the brothers was not a petty dispute. It wasn't some childish machlokas. It was a deep thing. The machlokas between Rabbi Nachman and the Shpoyle Zeda and any other tzadikim who opposed Rabbi Nachman when he was first arriving on the scene, it was a deep thing. It was not a simple thing, right? The disputes, when the Yira Kadosh decided to break away from his Rebbe, the Chos of Lublin, disputes between tzaddikim, that's a big thing. When Rav Shach and the Lubavitcher Rebbe had radically different world views, when Rav Kook and Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld had radically different world views, right? When tzaddikim have different views, there's a depth to it. But it also, there's also machlokas. They're also not exempt from battling. Gam nechlalin sham bechinas milchamos hashvatim. Shein nechamim zem zem. If my kid's getting into a fight on a Sunday afternoon, fighting over something, you know, a toy in the house or whatever, you know, is a form of machlokas. It's Japan versus America. Right? So when the tzaddikim are fighting, so it's what? It's Ephraim versus Yehuda. It's Yosef versus the brothers, right? But it's also machlokas. Maybe it's a little more refined, it's a little holier, but it's also machlokas, it's also a war. It's also a battle. But says Rabbi Nachman, the end game, the last two lines, u'kishayavo Mashiach b'mher b'yameinu, oz yisbatel kol mine machlokas. But the hope of Mashiach is that what? The Mashiach is going to bring what? Shalom to the world. We're going to see shalom in the world. As yisbatel kol mine machlokas, v'yashalom gadol ba'olam. There's going to be tremendous shalom in the world. Kamo shekasev lo yareyu v'lo yashchisu v'chulu. Ki mala aretz deyas Hashem. The world is going to be filled with the knowledge of Hashem, says the Navi Yeshaya. And at that point, there's no longer going to be fighting. We're all going to learn how to harness all of those different energies inside of ourselves, and everyone's going to redirect themselves. Like Rav Chana Wasserman said, when there's yirah shamayim in the world, but there's awareness of Hashem, then everyone knows their place in the world. And there's no machlokas in the world. It's very interesting. We always end with shalom. The end of everything, the goal that we're always directed towards, we're trying to get to shalom. We're trying to get to shalom. The fourth exile, interestingly enough, is Gullus Edom. That's the Gullus that we're in right now. Edom. Right? The Torah says about Esav. Esav hu Edom. Esav is Edom. Esav is the same gematria as Shalom, 376. As soon as we get rid of Esav, as soon as we end this final galus, we'll be zochet to Shalom. But everything ends with Shalom. Think about it. What's the last bracha of Shmona Esrei? Sim Shalom. Right? What's the last word of Birchas Kohanim? Shalom. What's the last word in Shas? When you work away from the beginning of Torah till the end of the Torah, the last Mishnah, Maseches Uksin, it ends, Hashem Yivarech Es Amo, Bashalom. What is Eliyahu Navi coming to do in the world? The Mishnah Maseches Eidios. In the 8th chapter, the Mishnah says, Eliyahu is not coming to figure out halacha. Eliyahu is coming, Lasos Shalom Ba'olam. V'heishiv Leiv Avos Abanim Leiv Banim Alavosam. It's all about getting, that's what we're trying to get to. I once read an amazing thing. There was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Nissim Yagen. Very interesting yid. So there's a sefer called Nesive Or. So he says, you know sometimes when you get medicine and it says make sure you shake it up really well? Make sure you shake it up really well. Why? Why? Because the medicine, like the most important stuff, sometimes settles on the bottom. So you got to shake it up well in order to mix it in. Right? So he says, from the fact that you always see that Shalom is always at the bottom. It's at the bottom of our Shmona Esrei. It's at the bottom of our Birchas Kohanim. It's at the bottom. After I work my way through all of Shas, it's at the bottom. Right? So that what? That's the medicine. That's the ultimate medicine. Like the medicine at the bottom of the medicine jar, the medicine bottle. Right? So too, the medicine at the end of our Shmona Esrei, at the end of our Tfilos, at the end of Shas, at the end of the Birchas Kohanim. Right? Eliyahu is going to usher in the Messianic era. It's all about getting to Shalom. Right? And the goal is that we want to try to stir it in. Right? Maybe that's what all the milchama is doing. It's shaking it up till eventually the shalom is able to be mispashi pa'ola. Well, just to wrap up for a couple more minutes, I want to just explain to you how, again, we can spare ourselves a lot of hardship in life if we understand how we can redirect the milchama in a way of kedusha. Go to source number 7, please. Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ashrei Gever, Asher Milei Es Ashpaso Mehem, Lo yevoshu ki yadaru es oivim b'shar. So the Gemara asks a question in source number 8, the Gemara Kedushin. Mai es oivim b'shar. What does it mean, the enemies in the gate? Praiseworthy is the one who fills his quiver with them, right? Who's victorious on the battlefield. He's able to dominate his enemies in the gate. Says the Gemara in Kedushin, who are these enemies in the gate? It's a beautiful Gemara. Amr b'chia bar Abba. You know what a base medrash is supposed to look like? You know what Torah is supposed to look like? If the whole world is filled with milchama, the Torah is also supposed to be milchama. Says the Gemara, afilu ha'av u'bno, a father and his son, they love each other very much. Harav v'talmido, a Rebbe and a Talmud, they care about each other very, very much. Sha'uskin b'torah, but when they're learning Torah b'shar, when they're learning Torah, when they're in the gates of Torah, right? B'shar echad, when they're in the same parsha, when they're in the same sugya, nasim oivim zezeh. They make themselves like enemies towards one another. Right? They're fighting with each other. They're arguing with each other. They're yelling at each other. I remember Shana Aleph, I remember these two Israeli kolo guys, they looked like they were going to kill each other. They were fighting, they were screaming. Right? They're passionate, fighting and screaming over a tosos. So they look, a father and a son who love each other, Rebbe and Talmud who love each other. When they're in the base medrash, If they believe that they have the true interpretation of Torah, they fight over it. But einam zazim isham achinasim oavim zasa. But of course, when they get up, when they leave the base medrash, they give each other a big hug, and they're best friends. So to an outsider, it's like, wait, I don't get these. Do these two guys hate each other or love each other? Right? They were screaming at each other. Lochamta shel Torah, lochamta shel Torah. You ever seen two real big talmidei chacham go at it? It's like a wild thing. It's a wild thing to see. To tzaddikim argue over something where they really believe that they have the emes, not for their own gaiva, because they're really fighting for the emes of Torah. Right? But then afterwards, they give each other a big hug and they love each other. They're not fighting because they don't like each other. So it's a milchama that actually what? That creates goodness in the world. The Gemara at the end of Brachos says in source number 9, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Chanina, Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. Talmidei Chachamim enhance shalom in the world. So the Chassam Sofer asks in his drashos in the first volume, in a drasha l'parsha Zachar, he says, I don't understand. Talmidei Chacham are always fighting. How did Talmidei Chacham bring shalom to the world? So the Chassam Sofer says, because when you're fighting in Torah, again, like Rabbi Nachman taught us, there's milchama that has to take place in the world. If it takes place in the Beis Medrash, then it doesn't have to take place on a battlefield. If it's not taking place in the realm of Kedusha, then it's going to manifest itself with what? With people fighting on a battlefield. So Talmidei Chacham brings shalom to the world. What do you mean? Talmidei Chacham are always arguing with each other. They're always fighting with each other. It's always machlokas. Beis Medrash is the ultimate place of machlokas. That's what the whole Gemara is. It's one big machlokas. How does that bring peace to the world? Because to the degree that there's fighting in Torah, then there doesn't need to be fighting somewhere else. It doesn't need to be fighting somewhere else. That fills the need for the fighting in the world. So let's end with one final source. Let's take a look at source 11. It's from the Sefer Sichos Ba'avodas Hashem, Rav Meisel Shlita. He tells a gevaldik little story. Umisupar in source number 11, Shebeshas Milchemes Ha'olam Harishona. During the First World War, most of us, when we think, you know, about the World War, we think in terms of World War II. We think about the Holocaust. We think about people who we know who went through the war, involved in the war. Right? It's a little closer to home. But World War I was also Ayum Venora. The amount of people who were killed in World War I, the amount of Jews that were killed in World War I, terrifying. So during the First World War, it was an Eis Sara LeYaakov. It was a terribly difficult time for the Jewish people. V'dam Yehudi hayanishbach chamayim, and Jewish blood was spilled like water. Again, it wasn't systematic like Hitler, Yimach Shemo, right? But there was plenty of Jewish death and destruction and suffering. Nichnas echad laharav hakadosh Rav Tzvi Elimelech miBluzhov. So someone once walked in to see the tzaddik, the Tzvi LeTzaddik, name of his sefer, Rav Tzvi Elimelech of Bluzhov, the Rebbe of Bluzhov. Umatzo Yosef olomid bi'ion gadol b'sefer k'tzois v'nesivos. And he saw him sitting, learning a sugya. Had his Baba Basar open, his Baba Kama open, whatever it was. And he was learning machlokas, choshe mishpat, the k'tzois, the nesivos. Right? Lomdesh machlokas, he's sitting there, he's learning sugya b'ion. Hadavar orer t'miya rabba b'enof. So the person looks at him at a time where there's so much chorban in the world. And he's sitting there with his Jewish books, trying to work out a machlokas. V'chizosia avoda hanidreshes bizman kazeh, she Yisrael nisun b'tzara b'tzuka. So this person said, Rebbe, is this a time to be sitting and just burying your head in the books when the Jewish people are suffering? Shouldn't we be out there doing something to help Klal Yisrael? Halo b'regayim ka'elu ha'yitzarech ha'rebi lishboch libo kamayim b'tfila v'tachanunim. Shouldn't this be a time? If I walked in and I found you holding a sefer Tehillim and crying, that would have made sense to me. To daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be yirachim al she'iris amo, have rachmanas on whoever's left of Klal Yisrael. Zman Torah l'chud, zman tefillah l'chud. This is not a time for learning. It's time for davening. It's time for Tehillim. Amr lo harav HaKadosh mi Bluzhov. The Bluzhov Rebbe said, Adrab, just the opposite. Bizman kazeh shemis orim milchamus ba'olam. At a time like this, where there's so much milchama in the world, as dafka yesh laharbos b'milchamta shel Torah. The way to lessen the battles on the battlefield is to bring the battle back into the Beis Medrash. Again, it's a metaphysical reality that when there's milchamta shel Torah, that fills the need. Again, Rav Nachman tells us there's a need. There's a reality in the world. There needs to be milchama. Choose how it's going to manifest itself. It will either manifest itself on a battlefield, or it'll manifest itself with a Jew trying to what? To work out the machlokas to bring shalom between the ktsos and the nesivos. To bring machlokas of Rashi and Tosfos to some type of pshara. V'yedeze namtik shar ha-milchamos, and in doing so, if we can do this, we'll put an end. It removes the other milchamos. Ki milchamte shal Torah mivateles es kol shar ha-milchamos. And that's what the Chassam Sofer is saying as well. The Chassam Sofer is saying, Talmidei Chacham brings shalom to the world. The Beis Medrash is a Mochama. But that brings shalom to the world. Okay? So, Chavra, again, a couple of tremendous yisodas that we learned today. Number one, we have to understand that whatever's happening on a micro level is happening on a macro level. And it's something that cannot be avoided. It's unavoidable. That there has to be a certain amount of milchama in the world. And only when Mashiach comes can a person say, I'm going to be freed from all of this strife. Life is hard. Life is a struggle. There's always going to be struggles. Again, we're learning at the end that we could choose to redirect that struggle into a struggle to learn a sugya and to understand all the various shitas in the Rishonim and the Poskim and the Achronim, whatever it is. Right? That's a way to redirect that struggle. But the reality is that there needs to be a struggle. And we learned, again, in the deepest way, that it's not only between peoples and nations, but even within a person. We're made up of all the nations. We're made up of all the kochos of the Bria. And learning how to navigate that and how to harness that energy so that that asafsuf asher bekirbo doesn't destroy me is a very delicate thing. It's a lifetime of work. But again, that's what these parashas are about. It's Lot and Avram's shepherd. It's learning how to live side by side. It's the four kings and the five kings. Learning how to, you know, battle it out. It's Sarah and Hagar trying to figure out a way to live together or not live together. It's all of life. The Torah is not recording these, you know, disputes, right? Because they're just historical tidbits. The Torah is recording disputes. It's like, this is the nature of life. There's going to be kola ola mali machlokas, as Rabbi Nachman. We should be zocha through our Torah study and through our tefillah and through our understanding of our own kochas and nefesh, eventually to be zocha, to bring shalom to the world. Okay. Shkoyach. Questions, comments, responses, feedback.